This is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgewick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Radio South Tyneside, your caring community radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Our New Testament lesson today speaks of God opening and closing doors as we journey through life. St. Paul, along with his companions, was making his second missionary journey, intending to journey to Asia, but for some reason, that door was closed to him. Instead, he travelled with his companions, Luke now being one of them, to what we now call Europe, and they planted the first seeds of faith there. Of course, there were no demarcation lines between continents then, because all of that territory belonged to Rome. We'll be hearing our reading after our first hymn. I will be with you wherever you go, it says. Go now throughout the world. This is a song sung by Catherine Crossweller. I will be with you.
I will be with you.
So I'm reading now from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, verses 9 to 15. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas we put out to sea, and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went on to Neapolis. From there we travelled to Philippi, a Roman colony, and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira, named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. I wonder if in your life some barrier has ever stood in the way of you fulfilling your hopes or dreams. Perhaps something occurred which dashed your hopes or made you feel rejected in some way. A massive door once closed on me, and I just couldn't understand it at the time or fathom any reason to it. But God had other plans, and on looking back at it now, it all makes sense. I can see why it wasn't meant to be. I can see why what happened had to happen. I suppose what I'm trying to say is that we need to rely on God for guidance and try to accept his restraints if we can when a door closes to us. As we've heard in our Bible reading just now, Paul and his companions simply kept calm and carried on. And don't people say as one door closes, another one opens? In the book of Revelations, chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "These are the words of the one who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he, that is God, opens, no one will shut, and what he shuts, no one will open." Our next hymn contains a prayer for those of us who are seeking some guidance at this time. Those words say, "Lead kindly light amidst the encircling gloom, lead thou me on. The night is dark and I am far from home. Lead thou me on. Keep thou my feet. I do not ask to see the distant scene. One step enough for me." Here is "Lead Kindly Light," written by John Henry Newman and sung by Nareen Nerian from the album Celtic Joy.
Lead kindly light amid the encircling gloom, lead thou me on. The night is dark and I am far from home, lead thou me on. Keep thou my feet, I do
I don't know if any of you have heard of a missionary called Brother Andrew. He was the founder of a charity known as Open Doors, and he's still looked upon as one who was their chief adventurer and lead risk taker. Many closed doors opened to him in the course of his ministry. He's best known for courageously putting his life on the line to smuggle Bibles behind the Iron Curtain at the height of the Cold War. He tells of a time when he approached the Romanian border in his car, which was packed with illegal Bibles. He could only hope the border guards were moving swiftly and not paying much attention, which might allow him to pass through undetected. But just as he was hoping this, Brother Andrew saw the guards stop the car at the front of the line. He watched with bated breath as the vehicle's owners were forced to take out all the car's contents and spread them out on the ground for inspection. Each car that followed received the same treatment, with a fourth car's inspection lasting the longest. The guard took a full hour to sift through it, including removing hubcaps, taking the engine apart, and even removing the seats. "Dear Lord," Brother Andrew remembers praying, "what am I going to do?" As he prayed, a bold idea came to him. He said to God, "I know that no amount of cleverness on my part can get me through that border search. Dare I ask for a miracle? Let me take some of the Bibles out and leave them in the open where they will be seen." So putting the Bibles out in the open would truly be depending on God rather than his own intelligence, he thought. So when the guards ushered Andrew forward, he did just this. I handed him my papers and started to get out of the car, but the guard's knee was against the door, holding it closed. And then the almost unbelievable happened. The guard looked at Brother Andrew's passport and abruptly waved him on. Surely 30 seconds had not passed, he remembers. Brother Andrew started the engine and began pulling away, all the while wondering if he was supposed to pull over the car so it could be taken apart and examined. I coasted forward slowly, my foot poised above the brake. Nothing happened. I looked out the rear mirror. The guard was waving the next car to a stop, indicating to the driver that he had to get out. Guard had cleared the way, opened the door for Brother Andrew to smuggle the Bible to Christians who had no access to God's word.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in.
Set a feast for them, my hand will save. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I
That hymn was sung by John Michael Talbot, Here I Am, Lord. There are many things we simply can't change in life, no matter how hard we try. You may have heard of a well-known prayer which goes like this. Lord, give me the serenity to accept the things I can't change, courage to change the things I can change, and wisdom to know the difference. Such wise words actually take the strain from us and whisper to us, don't strive. God has everything in his hands. The prophet Jeremiah spoke the following words to the people of Israel, who were in captivity in Babylon. He believed God was calling them to trust and hope in him once more, despite their terrible situation. For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you. Here are those words from Jeremiah from my album, If I Have Not Love.
For I know the plans I have for you, to prosper and not harm you, to give hope and a future, thus says the Lord. Then you will call to me, and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you.
And so we've heard in today's reading from Acts 16, a vision came to Paul to lead him onwards, in which there was an open invitation. In the vision, a man from Macedonia pleaded with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Paul and his company obeyed immediately. There they met a wealthy lady called Lydia when they went to worship one Sabbath outside of the city gates. We know that she must have been rich because the purple cloth she dealt with was a most precious commodity in those days. But not only that, she had a house large enough to house her guests. Paul preached the gospel message, and Lydia became a believer. She opened the door of her heart to receive all that Paul taught. John 14:23, our gospel reading, which will be read out in churches across the country today, tells of a statement made by Jesus, who said, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. It suggests we can open a door and allow the Father and the Son to take up residence in our lives, just as Lydia did. The book of Revelation chapter 3 reinforces this, where Jesus says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. Let's listen to Pete Scott with United Folk singing, Behold, I Stand and Knock. from the album Out of the Archives.
Behold, I stand and knock, and waiting patiently for you to open your heart to me. Come.
I'm sure you must all be familiar by now with a painting by William Holman Hunt called Light of the World. It shows Jesus, lantern in hand, knocking on a door long unopened and covered with weeds and brambles. But did you know that if you look really closely, you will see that there's no handle on the outside of the door? It must be opened from the inside. Jesus will not force his way into our lives. He must be invited in. It's never too late to do just that. Here's a song called It's Never Too Late to Make a Brand New Start from my album Giving It All to You.
It's never too late to make a brand new start. It's never too late to unlock a stony heart. For in this world where life is short, to give God's love a try. It's never too late to learn to love your fellow man. It's never too late to try and build your life again. 'Cause the circle of this life on earth won't be all. It's never too late to give.
It's never too late to open the door to Jesus and make a brand new start. A few years ago now, this final song, Bless the Lord, known also as 10,000 Reasons, was sung by a group of prisoners as they faced a 13-man firing squad in Indonesia. The group included the Bali Nine ringleaders, Mayuran Sukumaran and Andrew Chan, who'd been on death row for almost a decade for drug trafficking. Not only had they opened their hearts to receive the good news of Jesus Christ, they were transforming many of the prisoners' lives too. Despite many protests from across the globe, the authorities decided to uphold the death penalties. When they were led out to face the firing squad, something extraordinary happened. All of the prisoners declined the offer to wear blindfolds and instead stood and faced their executors. According to witnesses, they all recited the Lord's Prayer, embraced one another, and sang two songs, Amazing Grace and 10,000 Reasons, before their voices were drowned out by gunfire. Here to end our programme is 10,000 Reasons, better known as Bless the Lord, O My Soul. I pray that their final act of witness in the face of death will inspire you today. Thank you for listening to our programme. I do hope you found it interesting and that there was some word in it just for you. Thanks to my technical assistant, Andrew. Time to say goodbye, Andrew.
Bye, everyone.
And bye from me. Bye for now.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. You're slow to anger. Your name